Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I'd already shot a video, it's in the queue, ready to go, and an update happened, so here we are, shooting again. At its most basic, though, I'm a consumer protection attorney. I help people get relief when they bought something and they didn't get what they bargained for. That's the basic transaction. And so I do a lot with cars, but of course, the field with the least transparency, where the most opaque transactions take place, is healthcare. So if I told you I'm going to the hospital tomorrow, and I told you what hospital I'm going to and what surgery I'm going to have, and I said, predict how much my bill is going to be, you couldn't do it. You could not do it. It's mathematically impossible. And so that's been a problem for some time. Now, there have been steps to fix that, but the steps haven't fixed it, and they're not happening fast enough. But there's been a crazy case out of Colorado where the Colorado Supreme Court just sided with the patient in one of these crazy cases. So what happened was a woman went into a hospital for surgery, and she was told, don't worry, your surgery is covered by your insurance. You're going to be paying about $1,300 out of pocket. When she got the bill later, they charged her $300,000 and said, oh, your insurance company's not actually in network. Sorry. And so she fought that, and it made it to Colorado Supreme Court. The Colorado Supreme Court now has agreed with her. So the story's from the Associated Press, and Colorado Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the woman who expected to pay $1,300 for spinal fusion surgery, but was billed more than $300,000 by the hospital that included charges they never disclosed she'd be liable for. Now, she understood the surgery would cost more than $1,300. She thought her out-of-pocket was $1,300 and that the insurance company would cover the rest. This week's ruling in favor of the patient, who underwent two surgeries in 2014, follows efforts by many states and the feds to help curb healthcare costs by restricting or eliminating so-called surprise billing. They're also trying to require increased price transparency for consumers or patients. In a unanimous decision, the Colorado justices ruled that agreements that the patient signed before surgery at the hospital don't compel her to pay the extra charges, which stemmed from a then secret list of prices for services that hadn't been disclosed to her. Now, since 2014, some laws have changed. Some of this has become a little more transparent, but the problem's not completely solved. She had expected to pay $1,337 out of pocket after her medical insurance would cover the rest. She believed the hospital was in network, and she'd been told that by an employee of the hospital. But apparently, the employee gave her incorrect estimates because they misread her insurance card. In fact, the hospital wasn't in network. So there you go. We're off by a factor of like 227. So her bill was $303,709, and her insurance agreed to pay $74,000 of it. And the hospital said, well, that's too bad. We want the rest. And you now owe us that money. So attorneys for the hospital argued that the woman had signed agreements specifying she was required to pay all charges of the hospital. And that's a quote, all charges of the hospital, which would include prices for services the hospital maintained internally at the time. The court, that's the Supreme Court of Colorado, ruled that the patient never agreed to those charges since they weren't specifically mentioned in the contracts. The justices also declared that the internal database of such prices, referred to as the charge master rates, don't reflect actual care costs because insurance companies often negotiate a lowering of prices to in-network rates. And that's one of the issues that I have, and that is that if you ask a hospital, what do you charge for this? They'll say, well, if you have no insurance and you're paying cash, we charge you this. You have insurance, this company, we'll charge you that. Oh, insurance for that company, we charge you that. It's a different price based on who's paying. And that's actually unusual in the field of consumer law. Think about that. If I walked into a store, how much for this product? Depends. Who's paying for it? The judge who wrote the opinion, writing for the court, further asserted that internal hospital charge master rates have become increasingly arbitrary and over time have lost any direct connection to hospitals' actual costs, reflecting instead inflated rates set to produce a targeted amount of profit for the hospitals after factoring in discounts negotiated with private and governmental insurers. The drawn-out case first went to a civil trial. And by the way, at the civil trial, the hospital made all of these arguments, and the judge said, you know something? Let's let it go to a jury. Let's let the jury decide. The jury came back and said, yes, we think the patient actually owes the hospital some money, $767. They ordered her to pay that money. So apparently she was willing to pay it, but the hospital filed an appeal. And the appeals court spun it around and said that should never have gone to a jury. The court should have just ordered her to pay the full amount. An appeals court later ruled for the hospital, finding that hospitals can't predict exact care costs in advance, and that the term all charges included in the contract obligated the patient to pay the full amount charged to her. Think about that. Hospitals can't predict exact care costs. They can't predict them. Unpredictable. And that the term all the charges included the full amount charged to her. She's got no control over it and no advance warning. So an attorney for the patient said this should be the end of the line for her, saying that his client, the patient, was very happy with the result. A spokesperson for the hospital didn't immediately respond to telephone or email messages seeking comment. In recent years, Colorado, California, New York, Oregon, and other states have enacted laws designed to restrict or ban surprise hospital billing. A federal law dubbed the No Surprises Act went into effect earlier this year, providing consumer protections against that practice. Now, here's the funny part. I told you I'd already shot a video on this, and I was using a different article for the facts. And there was a very interesting statement in that article. And this article is from the Fort Morgan Times. And here's the thing. I mentioned before the lack of transparency in the field of hospitals and medicine. And I said, if I'm going into the hospital tomorrow, I tell you the operation I'm going to have, and let's assume everything goes according to plan, no surprises, no complications, predict what it's going to cost me. You couldn't. You couldn't in a million years. And now the question is, could the hospital? And in the other article, it says, the hospital's attorneys countered, they argued, that the use of a charge master is a normal industry practice and healthcare costs are unpredictable. So it's impossible for the hospital to know for sure in advance how much a patient will be charged and lock in a firm price. They can't know because it's impossible and healthcare costs are unpredictable. And I am not sure of any other field where you can literally say there's a service or product or a mixed situation, service and products, where you go in and you're at the mercy of them charging you what they want to charge you. And if you've got insurance, your insurance company might be able to negotiate on your behalf and they might have a relationship in network or something. But the idea that a person walking in off the street and says how much, they can't even ballpark it? And so I'll give you an example, which might seem a little crass, but there was a time in Michigan where if you brought your car into a mechanic and said, for instance, my car needs a new starter. I turn the key and it just clicks. Turns out it needs a new starter. The mechanic goes, yeah, leave your car, I'll fix it for you. You come back the next day, he goes, I fixed it for you. It's $1,000. And you go, $1,000 for a new starter? That's crazy. Well, pay it. Or I'm going to keep your car because I have a mechanic's lien on it, and I'll sell it, and I'll get my $1,000. And there was a time when things like that could happen. So they passed a law called the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act. It's in the blue books behind me. Trust me on that one, my friends. And they said that from the passing of that law going forward, mechanics had to give you an estimate in writing before they began work and say, here's what it's going to cost you, parts and labor. And they have to sign it and give you a copy so you can look at it, study it, think about it, chew on it a little bit, not literally. And then if you say, yes, I will engage your services to have you repair my car, they cannot exceed the estimate by more than 10% without your permission. Now, they can call you up and say, hey, you know, we got in there and we discovered all kinds of other problems. Maybe not with a starter, but with something else. And then you have to make that decision. But the point is, they can't just do the work and charge you later. That's crazy talk. So we've got this law for mechanics, but not with hospitals, not with medicine. Why is that? I don't know. But it's interesting It's interesting in this case because it looks like the Supreme Court here ruled unanimously. The jury found in her favor, basically. They did say she had to pay another $700, but that's a far cry from $300,000 or whatever it would have been. And a court of appeals in the middle had said, no, no, this shouldn't have gone to a jury. She should have to pay the whole amount. And so I have people say, Steve, how is it possible that judges get stuff so wrong? And I'm sure you can see why this is. This is more of a policy issue than a simple issue with one woman and her back surgery. The question is, should hospitals be allowed to operate this way or not? And when you look at the underlying transaction, it's a contract. They actually mentioned contracts and agreements in this discussion. So if I hire you to do something, we have a contract, we have to have some basic understanding of what's going to happen, what you're going to give me, what I'm going to pay you, and so on. And there are contracts out there that you can have what they call open terms, a term that is not defined in the contract simply because we don't know what it is. We both understand it. But the open term also cannot be unreasonable, and a court shouldn't enforce an unreasonable contract. It's unconscionable to do so. And so if you go back to square one in this case, the woman goes into the hospital, they say, you need back surgery. She gives them her insurance card, and they go, okay, your insurance company, we are in network with them. It's going to cost you out of pocket $1,300. And she says, okay, go ahead and do that. They say, sign here. Now, she signs a thing saying she's responsible for all charges, but she's signing, relying upon the statement that it's going to cost her $1,300. $2,000 maybe, with the extra $500 or $600 or $700 the jury awarded, but a couple hundred thousand more? Obviously, that's wrong. Obviously, it's wrong. So I suspect that the appellate court in the middle that got this so horribly wrong did so because they bought the argument from the attorneys for the hospital that healthcare is so unpredictable, even we can't tell you what it's going to cost. We have no idea. No one knows. That's like trying to predict the future or something. It's impossible. It's crazy. So this is a great case. I love this case, and I love the Colorado Supreme Court all of a sudden. So thank you. I will have people ask me, and I've had people ask me this before with respect to other cases. When you get a case out of another state, does it help you in your state? So in other words, you're not in Colorado. You're in Nevada. You're in Michigan. And you have a situation similar to this. Can you cite this case as good law? And here's the thing. You can cite to it, but it's not binding on the courts of your state unless you're in Colorado. Good news for people in Colorado. But if you're in your state and there are no cases on the topic or no cases that go your way, you can pull this case out and go, but our learned brethren in Colorado ruled on it this way, and their reasoning appears sound. And you can hope to persuade a court with it, and they call that persuasive authority. So you can present it that way. I've done that many times with the Uniform Commercial Code because it's the law of the land, but not all sections have been ruled on in all 50 states. So I found sections of the UCC that I could not find case law in Michigan on, and I went to other states and I found case law that I liked there. And I'd write a brief and I'd say, this has never been ruled on in Michigan. However, Illinois, New York, and California have all ruled this way on it. And of course, my opposing counsel says, oh, no. Those are other states. Michigan needs to go the other direction. And you make the argument and see what happens. But this is great news for people in Colorado. And it's pretty good news for everyone everywhere else. Like I said, it won't necessarily change things in your state, but this does appear to be the way the tide is shifting. And I know right now there are people in the hospital industry who are freaking out. And they're going to act as if this is the sky falling on them. It's going to destroy their business model. And obviously, they just lost a couple hundred thousand dollars in this case, although they probably spent more than that on attorney fees. But the real question is it really that hard to predict what's going to happen with someone's medical bills? Because hospitals have been around for a long time. And if you think about all of the other things that big businesses can predict and figure out in advance, logistically, it shouldn't be that hard to ballpark at least what the hospital bill is going to be. So a hospital bill being either $1,300 or $300,000, that's a pretty big disparity. Now, if they'd said, well, it's going to be $1,300 and $1,600, a little more reasonable. But that's the issue I've got. And I've always said this, that in industries where the pricing is all over the place, I think there's some kind of inherent problem there. And I really do. And the idea that different people walk into the hospital for the exact same thing and pay different amounts based on whether they have insurance or not or who their insurance company is, I think that's wrong also. But it's going to be a long time before that gets fixed. But as of right now, this got fixed in Colorado. So it's a great case. Jason, Nathan, Bill, Daryl, Marquita, and Gwen all sent it from the Associated Press. Court tosses $300,000 hospital bill for a promised $1,300 tab. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Oftentimes it happens that we live our lives in chains and we never even know we have the key.